Chapter 8, The Vulture That Couldn't Come In. I'm standing in a restaurant alone, surrounded by empty tables and chairs. The restaurant was wrapped with glass windows overlooking the ocean just outside. As I stared out the window, a black vulture started flying in from the distance at what seemed like light speed. It looked as if it was going to break through the window to attack me. My heart was pounding harder with every inch the vulture neared the window. This bird was angry and aggressive. As he flew up to the window, he stopped in midair, flapping his wings, while floating outside the windows, looking at me with a death stare that was petrifying. I was spine-chilled, frozen stiff. I didn't dare to move. I knew it would provoke him into breaking the window and attacking me. After a few seconds, he dropped a piece of raw octopus from his mouth and flew off. I ran outside, looking up to the sky to see where he went, but he disappeared as quickly as he came. I sighed in relief because he was gone. Then I immediately picked up the piece of octopus and ran it over to the ocean. I started to climb down the boulders along the shore, making my way to the water. I thought, off to the bottom of the sea, as I threw this piece of evil raw meat into the ocean with all my might so the fish of the deep could consume it. I turned around and started to make my way up the rocks and back to the restaurant when suddenly it thundered and rain began to pour down on me. It was as if all hell broke loose from my rejection of this bad omen. I ran back to avoid this second attack from hell, making it to the front door as I slipped, fell, and quickly jumped to my feet. I finally made my entry back into the restaurant, locked the door behind me, and ran into another dining room. It was the back of the restaurant where there were no windows. There I stood and reflected, trying to make sense of what just happened, terrified by what this demon could possibly want from me. It was 3 a.m. when I jumped out of bed, frightened out of my mind. I was covered with sweat, and I could hear my heartbeat through my chest, while feeling the pulse in my neck throbbing, as it harmonized with the rhythm of my heart. Still groggy, but trying to make sense of the message of why on earth this evil spirit would come to me in such a nightmare. I started to pray immediately. I was absolutely terrified because the last time a blackbird came to me in a dream, I went through hell and back with my son. But that was a crow. This was a black vulture. Vultures are bigger and more wicked than crows. I didn't know what to expect. I knew God promised that my son and sister would never be struck again by this disease. I knew this as he confirmed it to me many times during prayer and revelation. I began to worry for my parents as I remembered the walking camel dream that I dreamt a month ago. I started to fast and pray against this vision of the night the following day. I pled with God to fight for me in the spiritual realm and never allow an attempt on my family to happen again. I became quite paranoid and continued to do the only thing that could reverse this attack, pray harder. Another month went by as I monitored everyone, especially my father, for any changes in their bodies or appearance. I became concerned with my father when he started to develop pain in his toe. He initially refused to get it checked out because he thought he could just walk it off and in a few days it would get better. Days became weeks until finally, after getting on his case about the discoloration of his toe, he went to see a doctor. He found out that he had an infection and needed to be put on antibiotics immediately. He began the medication and hoped that the pain would disappear sooner than later, since now he was limping pretty bad and couldn't wear shoes anymore. At this point, his doctor didn't really say anything to alarm him about it being serious. The doctor told him that he had a blockage in the artery in his left leg, which was slowing down the blood flow to his toe and delaying the healing process. They scheduled him for a same-day procedure within the following 2 weeks to open up the blockage. I wasn't really worried since it didn't seem life-threatening and it was a very manageable situation. During this time, my mother started to get really sharp and paralyzing pain in her hip and groin area. The pain wasn't constant at first, and she didn't show any serious symptoms of anything else beside the sporadic shooting pain. My mother slipped and fell a couple of years back, and since that fall, she has been getting this pain. I felt she definitely twisted something out of whack or pinched a nerve. As the days passed, her pain worsened, and she became immobile from it. She saw her doctor and was prescribed pain medication, along with some imaging on the nerves in her leg. I felt that a good chiropractic visit would do the trick and release the pinched nerve. I called my chiropractor and asked him to do a home visit for my mom, as she was in too much pain to travel to him. My chiropractor arrived at my parents' house an hour or so later, walking in the front door lugging his foldable white table. He used this table, which is more like a foldable bed for his patients to lie on and get adjusted. He proceeded to unfold the legs to the table and set it in the middle of the living room. While he was setting up, I walked to the bedroom to help my mother to the table so she could get realigned and hopefully alleviate her pain. That was the first time my chiropractor met my mom, so he started to ask her a bunch of questions, trying to become better acquainted, while attempting to understand her pain and how she hurt herself. After explaining the fall that she had taken years ago and how the pain started since then, he nodded his head in agreement and confirmed she definitely pinched a nerve. He laid her on the table and began to adjust her neck, working his way down the spine and to the hip region. After 10 minutes, he was done realigning her back and gently helped her off the table. My mother started to pace back and forth in the living room with a sense of relief. "You'll get better the more you move and as the days go by. Just don't do any abrupt movements that will put you out of alignment again. You'll be fine. Just take some ibuprofen for the inflammation." After his remarks, I quickly said, "Thanks for coming out, Doc. Since you're here, how about I jump on that table for a quick couple of cracks?" "Hop on, buddy," he replied. Man, that adjustment felt good. After hearing my vertebrae go pop, 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 I felt all the tension leave my body, not to mention I felt a little taller, since he twisted me like a pretzel. I felt great, and my mother was walking around the house. It didn't take her long before she bounced back into rhythm with her normal routine. A few days went by, and it was Sunday. I got up that morning like any other Sunday, took a shower, and got dressed for church. When church ends, it's usually around 1:30 p.m., and by then the kids are starving, as are my wife and I. The hunger of ours had created a family tradition of dining at a new restaurant after church each week. The kids enjoy it and look forward to trying a different place to have lunch. After we eat, we usually go and visit my in-laws for a few hours and then head over to my parents to visit them as well. It was roughly 7 p.m. when we arrived at my parents' home, and my mother was in excruciating pain. It was more severe than she had ever felt before. I wasn't alarmed because I thought it was that damn pinched nerve again. Besides, I cover my family every day in prayer and plead the blood of Jesus over them, so I was not worried about her symptoms. However, my wife felt differently and demanded that my mom get in the car so she could take her to the emergency room. Sure enough, they went, and my wife dropped her off at the front door of the hospital. A nurse took her by wheelchair, as she couldn't walk on her own from the pain. My wife couldn't stay with her since the world was under COVID-19 pandemic quarantine, and patients were not allowed any visitors to accompany them. A few hours went by, so I called the ER to ask about my mother's condition. The nurse told me that she was in a lot of pain and that they were trying to manage it with morphine. She also said that they were doing imaging to try and find the cause of her discomfort. It was now midnight. I called my mother and heard the torture in her voice as she was barely able to talk to me. At this point, I was getting very frustrated because I wasn't allowed to be with her, and the only way I could see her was through FaceTime, but she could hardly lift up her phone for that. I hung up with my mom and called the ER again and demanded to speak to the doctor. I waited a few minutes, and then a very young-sounding physician answered the phone. I quickly got into a questioning frenzy over my mother and demanded answers. He told me not to worry and that he was taking care of her as if she was his own mother. He further stated that they were doing every test under the sun to figure out her problem. He took my phone number and promised to call me as soon as he had some answers on her condition, regardless of what time of night it was. I hung up the phone with a heavy and uneasy feeling. I wondered what on earth could cause this pain, and couldn't fathom that it was anything serious besides a pinched nerve. I stepped out on my deck, took a seat, and I gazed up at the night sky while thinking about my mom and dad. I started to pray while my eyes were locked on the stars in the heavens. and gentle tears began to stream down my face. In the middle of my conversation with God, I saw a shooting star cross the path of my focus. After seeing that, I smiled and thanked God for his confirmation. I felt better and decided to go to bed until I get the call to pick her up. It was 4 a.m. and I was asleep when my phone rang. I quickly awoke, grabbed the phone, and answered it. It was the doctor from the ER who I had spoken to earlier in the evening. "Hello. Hi, Mr. Neshawat. I know you're sleeping, but I need to talk to you about your mother." "Yes, is she okay?" "Well, we did some x-rays on her and couldn't find the cause of her pain, so we went ahead and did some blood work on her. Her counts are fine except for her hemoglobin, which is the red blood cells. It's not at normal levels." "So what could it be? Her white counts and platelets are normal, right?" "Yes, those are at normal levels, which made me run the test again. And the second time, I looked at her neutrophils, and strange enough, that wasn't normal."
"What do you mean her neutrophils aren't normal, but her platelets are normal? What are you trying to say?"
"Your mother has leukemia."
"What? No, 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 that can't be correct. Please test her again."
"I tested her twice to make sure. Now I'm transferring down to Westchester Medical Center. They'll be able to further treat her there. Your mom will be okay, I promise. Medicine is so advanced today and it'll be fine, I promise. I need you to pull yourself together. You need to be strong, and you need to give your mom support. You can't do that if you don't pull yourself together. I know it's scary, but I promise you it will be okay."
Oh, okay.
I hung up the phone and completely lost it. My wife jumped out of bed trembling from my crying and yelling.
"What did he say? What's wrong?"
"He said she has leukemia." I walked out on my deck and became hysterical. I began to shake uncontrollably, crying out to God. My wife was in shock, but trying so hard not to show me her concern. She was trying to calm me down in the midst of her confusion. Thoughts of how I was going to tell my father and the rest of my family began to come rushing in. How on earth was I going to figure out a way to see her? There was no way I was going to let her go through this without having us by her side. I wept with the worst case of shakes and shivers I have ever felt. You could feel the wooden planks on the porch vibrate underfoot from my shaking. When I went back inside, I fell asleep on the couch for a couple of hours. I had just exerted all my energy from shivering and crying. Early that same morning, I stared at my mom's phone number, wondering what she was going to say about her diagnosis. I also wasn't sure I could keep it together when I heard her voice. Then I thought about calling my brother and sister, but chose to let them at least get a couple hours more sleep before I woke them with the devastating news. I decided to clear my throat and pull myself together. I had to call her and hear her voice.
"Hello, Mom?"
"Hi, I'm okay, don't worry."
"I know, Mom, there's nothing to worry about. We've been through this before, and it's curable, you know that already."
"I'm not scared, I'll be fine. I feel like they're misdiagnosing me. I don't feel like I have it."
"They're not completely sure, but they are sending you down to WMC to double check. But don't worry about that place. I promise to get you out of there. I love you."
"I love you too." I finally broke the news to my brother and sister that morning. They were in obvious disbelief and scared out of their minds. We all had a fair share of confusion about why God was allowing this to happen again. Later that morning, I picked up my brother and we headed down to WMC for a chance to see my mom and to get confirmation on her diagnosis. We still had some hope that the ER was wrong last night. We arrived at the hospital that we hate so much, and I made my attempts to get a glimpse of her. My brother was completely silent, waiting in my truck. One of the nurses came out, took my information, and said that the doctor would call me with an update as soon as he could. I headed back to the truck and sat there with my brother. We waited a few hours more before my phone rang. I answered, and it was the doctor from WMC confirming she had cancer. My brother and I wept like little children that day. We both started to yell at God for being so cruel to allow cancer to happen yet again. We wanted to know what there was to prove by this. We didn't understand why, since we had all become God-fearing and loving Christians, more than we had ever been. We were afraid to tell our dad. We didn't know how to break it to him. The poor guy was going through enough with his toe, which was on the verge of being amputated.
Plus, the procedure to open his blockage was in a couple of days. We were afraid of his sugar levels going out of control from the stress. This was too much to handle between our mom and our dad. Our world was collapsing fast. My fear of my son had transferred to my mother. We headed back home and decided to tell Dad after his procedure in 2 days. We pulled into my parents' driveway 45 minutes later to the sight of our father limping out of his car as he had just pulled in himself from being out. He headed toward us and asked about Mom. I started to make up a lie about her condition, since I wanted to stall for a couple of days until his procedure was done. He looked at my brother and I, slightly shook his head in a kind of disbelief, then turned around and started to walk back to the house. That instantly broke our hearts, as we knew he sensed something was wrong. We thought it was harsher to keep it from him, so as we looked at each other, we decided to let him know there and then. I called to my dad as I followed behind him to the front door. As soon as he turned around and faced me, I almost gave in and cried. After hearing about his wife, he erupted into tears, even though I gave everything I had to ease the blow and give him hope. We then all went inside for a bit before I decided to go home to sleep some of the stress off. I couldn't leave fast enough. I wanted to be alone. I went home to an empty house. My wife and kids were out. I walked over to the picture of Christ that's hanging in the hallway and screamed at him at the top of my lungs. "I can't believe you let this happen again! Haven't we been through enough already? I'm embarrassed to tell people that we're going through this again. This is beyond cruel. My mother! Lord, really? What good can come of this? Why? Answer me! Why? Why? Why?" I walked to my bedroom and buried myself under my covers, thinking my poor mother was stuck in WMC's death chamber and was going to go through this process alone. As I cried under my blanket, my brother called me with renewed energy within his soul. He told me to come and get him so we could head back to WMC, have Mom discharge herself and take her to another hospital in New York City. I agreed and drove back to my parents' house. After pulling into their driveway, I hopped into the passenger seat so I could make the phone call to our mom and explain the plan, since she needed to demand her discharge. I also called Sloan and explained the situation. They advised us to bring her to New York Presbyterian Hospital, which is across the street. Her transfer could be done from there much easier since they're somewhat interconnected. During this time, my sister called her doctor from Sloan, who she has a really good relationship with, for her help in obtaining a referral for our mother. Unfortunately, we knew what to do since we're all too familiar with the process. Sure enough, my sister's doctor accepted my mom as a patient and entered her into the hospital system. Things so far were lining up, and my brother and I didn't have time to worry and cry at that moment, since we knew we needed to act fast and get her out of WMC. We pulled up in front of WMC's main lobby and kept the truck running as we waited for our mother to be brought down from that damn 8th floor. When she was finally rolled out in the wheelchair from the elevator, it was as if we hadn't seen her for a year. We rushed to her and started hugging and kissing her as we carried our mom into my truck. She felt a sense of confidence after seeing us, and her spirit was renewed. We gave our best attempt to encourage her while driving to New York Pres. When we finally arrived at New York Pres, we brought her in through the ER. She was promptly brought back to one of the rooms, and a team of doctors and nurses rushed to care for her. They actually allowed us to go back into the ER room with her, which made my mom and us feel comfortable with the hospital and her situation. I even felt if she didn't get into Sloan, I wouldn't mind her getting treated at New York Pres. She stayed there for a week before her paperwork and transfer were approved by Sloan. This was just the first week of this intense roller coaster ride. I felt the weight of the world on my shoulders. The past was now haunting me again, and fear over my parents was reaching extremely high levels. I felt fooled this entire time by the enemy. My worry had been for my dad this entire time, yet my mother was the one under major attack. Now I was concerned and scared for both my parents, and felt that my sister and son were also vulnerable. I became upset with God, as I was under the impression He promised me that this cancer would never attack us again. I was completely lost and didn't know what to think anymore.